بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, today this is our fifth session reading from the Sharh of Kitab دروس اللغة العربية لغير الناطقين بها, يعني lessons in Arabic language for non-Arabic speakers. الجزء الأول تعليف دكتور فا عبد الرحيم. This is the first volume authored by Dr. Fa عبد الرحيم, and the explanation is by الأستاذ حسين بن أحمد بن عبد الله علي علي, who is the teacher at the معهد تعليم اللغة العربية بالجامعة الإسلامية. So today, بإذن الله تعالى, in our fifth session, it is our intention, by the permission of Allah, to take the next two lessons, that is الدرس التاسع, الدرس التاسع, the ninth lesson, and الدرس العاشر, the tenth lesson. But before we do that, we want to quickly take a look at some of the points that we covered last week in lessons 7 and 8. Yeah, so we're going to look quickly at the main points that we covered last week in lessons 7 and 8, review, and then we're going to go on to the new lessons 9 and 10. So on page 11, الدرس السابع, at the top of the page it says tilka, yani this is the main point of lesson number 7. This is a continuation of what we had in lesson number 6, where we had hadhihi. So hadhihi and tilka, yani, are both used for pointing to things that are feminine, or people, yani females and things that are feminine. So concerning tilka, yani, right underneath the title tilka, it says tilka اسم إشارة للمفرد المؤنث البعيد العقلي وغير العقلي. So what is important here in this explanation of tilka is that tilka is, number one, اسم إشارة, a noun that's used for pointing, demonstrative pronoun. It's used for للمفرد, the singular, not dual or plural, مثنى or جمع. It's used for and مؤنثي, feminine, not مذكر, masculine. And it's used for that which is البعيد, that which is far, as opposed to هذه in the previous lesson, used for that which is قريب. And تلك is also used for the العاقلي وغير العاقلي, يعني for the rational as well as the irrational or non-rational, intelligent or non-intelligent, yani things that are being pointed to. So, again, last week we had tilka, and previously we had hadhi. Both of them are ism ishara, lil mufrad, lil mu'annath. But here, here's where they differ. Tilka is for al-ba'id, and hadhi is for al-qarib. After this, they gave some examples, and then there's a chart showing the singular forms of the أسماء الإشارة للقريب, يعني for the masculine المذكر is هذا, and for the feminine المؤنث is هذه. As far as the بعيد, أسماء الإشارة للبعيد, for the مذكر masculine is ذلك, and for المؤنث the feminine is this one تلك. Okay, so for things which are near, masculine and feminine, we say هذا or هذه, and for things which are far, masculine and feminine, we say ذلك or تلك. The other point that's mentioned in this lesson, near the bottom of the page, they gave an example underneath the chart. أساعة عباس هذه, and the answer was لا, هذه ساعة حامد, تلك ساعة عباس. So here هذه and تلك are both used, يعني هذه ساعة حامد, this, يعني pointing to that which is near, and تلك ساعة عباس, that, pointing to that which is far. Underneath that line it says في هذا المثال, in this example, there is حمزة الاستفهام. حمزة الاستفهام, we had this in the first lesson, حمزة الاستفهام, for asking a question, it says الجواب بنعم أو لا, and the answer to a question that begins with حمزة الاستفهام, like in the question above, أساعة عباس هذه, the answer is either نعم for the affirmative or لا in the negative. Okay, and then they give us a comparison on the bottom of the page between hadhi, yani for qareeb, and tilka for ba'id, and some explanation of the example. Okay, let's go on to a quick review of lesson number 8 on page 12. On page 12, at the top of the page, the title is Al-Isharatu ila al-mu'arrafi bi al-Iflam. The definite article L. Al-Ishara, when you are pointing to something that is made definite by al-Iflam. Al-Mu'arraf bi al-Iflam. That which has been made definite by al-Iflam. And this is also known, yani in the original Medina books, it is referred to as Ismu al-Ishara alladhi lahu badalun. Yani the Ism Ishara, when you are using an Ism Ishara to point to something, and it has a bedel, and that bedel is the word that has been made definite by Alif Lam. Okay, so if you have, and we're not going to go over this, okay, this is just a review, but the point is, the Al-Ishara, when you are pointing to Al-Mu'arraf bi Alif Lam, when you are using an Ism Ishara with a word that has Alif Lam, this word that has Alif Lam is known as a bedel, a substitute. And we talked about that last week. And the important thing here is that yani when we use Ism Ishara, yani to point to that which is made definite by Alif Lam, then they come together in what is known as a bedel construction, and either one of them may take the place of the other. Bedel means substitute. The next point that we covered last week was the expression li men. Li men. Yani li, the preposition meaning for, and men, the ism istifham, which means who. For who. Okay, and we explained last week that limen is a su'al an al-aqil, a question when you're asking about a human being. Like, to whom belongs this house, or to whom belongs this pen, and so on. When you're asking a question, su'al an al-aqil. The next point was the two words, amama and khalfa, in front of and behind, and we said that both of these are adverbs, yani dharf al-makan, adverb of place, which shows the place or the position of something, in front of, behind, above, below, and so on. And they gave us some examples, and they also made us to know from the examples that these types of words, the dharf al-makan, like amam al-khalfa, are always used in an idafa construction. So whenever you see khalfa Mahmudin, for example, or amama at-tullabi, you know that khalfa and amama is a dharf al-makan, adverb of place. It means it's going to be the mudaf, and the word following it is going to be mudafun ilayhi, and therefore majrur. As we learned in lesson 5, the mudafun ilayhi is always in the genitive case, majrur, and the primary sign of being majrur is kasr. On the bottom of the page, they showed us a rule, هذا البيت للتاجري. يعني right underneath the explanation of Imam al-Khalfa, هذا البيت للتاجري. للتاجري is composed of lam, the preposition lam, the harf jar, lam, and a word that originally has the definite article, التاجر. Okay? So the rule here is that whenever you have a word with alif lam, and the it's prefixed with the preposition li, it loses, yani the alif lam, yani the alif is omitted or deleted, and yani the lam is attached directly to the lam of the definite article without alif. The other thing that they mentioned in this lesson near the bottom of the page, not the last line, but close to the last line, they showed us that the example, hadha ar-rajulu tajirun, yani is what we started with at the top, al-ishara ila al-mu'arraf bi alif lam. Yani whenever you have a word that has alif lam, been made definite by alif lam, and you're using ism ishara to point to it, as in hadha ar-rajulu tajirun. So hadha is the mubtada, and ar-rajulu is its bedel. This is a bedel construction. Ism ishara, hadha, or hadhihi, or dhalika, or tilka, any ism ishara followed by noun with alif lam is a bedel construction. The ism ishara, yani is the mubdal minhu, and the word with alif lam is its substitute, bedel. Finally, at the bottom of the page, they mention that حروف الجر, يعني that the following words are حروف الجر, prepositions, من, إلى, في, على, and لام. And they gave us the meaning of each one of them, what they represent and what we benefit from them. من تفيد البداية, يعني من is used to indicate where something starts from, and إلى تفيد النهاية. إلى, يعني, is used to indicate where we end up at, and نهاية. في تفيد الظرفية, يعني في indicates, يعني, place being inside something, and على تفيد الاستعلاء, يعني it tells us that it is above, it is high above. And لام تفيد الملك, يعني meaning possession or ownership of something. Okay, this is what we covered in lesson 8. And also I'll just mention that even though it's not mentioned here in the summary sharh of this lesson, but in lesson 8 we also had another point, and that is the ism maqsoor, the noun that ends with alif. Either the straight up alif, as in Amrika or in Britannia, or the alif that's written like a ya without its two dots at the end of the word, as in Mustafa, Musa, and Isa. Any word that ends with alif, because alif is not a consonant and it doesn't take a vowel, then we're not going to see the vowel changing on the end of that word. This is called the ism maqsoor. Okay? That word can be marfoon or mansubun or majroor, but we're not going to see the vowel changing from dhamma to kasra to fatha. So it remains in one condition. We don't say it's mabniyun because it is mu'rab. It does change from marfoon to mansub, but we don't see it changing from dhamma to fatha. Or from marfoon to majroor, but we don't see it changing from marfoon to kasra. Okay? So the i'rab of it has a special i'rab, inshallah, that we we'll learn in the third level. Okay, this is what we wanted to review from last week's lessons. And now let us go on to the lessons for today. So the first lesson we're going to take is lesson number 9. On page 13. Page 13. At the top of the page, it says, الدرس التاسع, the 9th lesson. The first point of this lesson is entitled النعت والمنعوت. النعت والمنعوت. And this is known in some grammar books by the other expressions الصفة والموصوف. So النعت is sometimes referred to as الصفة, same meaning. المنعوت is sometimes referred to as الموصوف with the letter صاد. الصفة الموصوف with the letter صاد. Okay, so what is النعت and المنعوت? النعت is an adjective, a word that's used to describe or to qualify another word. The word that it is describing or qualifying is known as المنعوت. Okay, and the rules concerning النعت and المنعوت we discussed last week. In summary, we can say that the نعت, the adjective, follows the word that it's describing in the sentence, and it also follows it in terms of it being singular or dual or plural, the number. It follows it in terms of it being يعني مذكر أو مؤنث, masculine or feminine. And it also follows it in terms of it being يعني it's إعراب, if it is مرفوعٌ or منسوبٌ or مجرورٌ. So before we go any further, I want to refer you to the bottom of the page, the end of this sharh lesson, the bottom of the page, the last line. It says, and this is the rule that yani we want to understand for this lesson, or we want to review for this lesson, because this is a review of something that we already studied. On the bottom of the page, the last line, bottom of page 13, it says, "النعتُ يتبعُ المنعوتَ." النعت, the adjective, follows المنعوت, the word that it is qualifying, in four areas. في التذكير والتعنيف. التذكير refers to مذكر, being masculine. التعنيف refers to المؤنث, being feminine. So the نعت it has to follow or agree with the word that it is qualifying in being masculine or feminine. At-tazkir wa-ta'anif. The second matter, at-ta'arifi wa-ta'arifi wa-tankiri. It also must follow it, yatba'u, must follow it. It must be in agreement with it in at-ta'arif. والتنكير التعريف means definiteness and تنكير indefiniteness يعني التعريف we say it is يعني معرفة definite تنكير نكرة indefinite so the not must also agree with the منعوت in التعريف indefiniteness and التنكير indefiniteness the third matter والإعرابي it must also agree with it in terms of its إعراب يعني meaning is it مرفوع or مجرور or منسوب يعني is it in the nominative case the genitive case or the accusative case and the last matter it must agree with it يعني in number يعني they said الإفراد it must agree with it in الإفراد being singular or التثنية يعني مثنى being dual or الجمع يعني being plural it must agree with it in number, in being singular, dual, or plural. So if the man'ut is definite, the not has to be definite. And likewise, if it is indefinite. If it is masculine, it has to be masculine like it, or feminine. If it is marfu'un, it has to be marfu'un. If it is singular, it has to be singular, or dual, it has to be dual, plural, it has to be plural. Okay, so this is very, very important in understanding the not and the man'ut, that there are four areas. Up until now in book one, we only dealt with three of those areas. Yani being masculine or feminine, being definite or indefinite, and in its i'rab, being marfoon or mansub or majrur. We didn't deal with number yet. Yani all of the adjectives that we have had so far have been in agreement with being singular. But later on we will see if the man'ut is dual or plural, it must also agree in that area. So we have three areas so far. In this particular lesson, we only dealt with three areas. At-tazkir wa ta'anif, that is, in being mudhakkar or mu'annath, masculine or feminine. At-ta'arif wa tankir, in being definite or indefinite, yani ma'arifa or nakira. And al-i'rab, in being marfu'un or majrurun or mansubun. As far as the number, it's going to be, everything is going to be singular up until now. Okay, so this is a very important rule, and these terminologies are also important to learn if you are not already familiar with them. Okay, let's go back to the top of the page. An-na'at wal-man'ut, wa-sifa wal-mawsuf. The first example they gave us, هَذَا الرَّجُلُ الْكَرِيمُ طَبِيبٌ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ الْكَرِيمُ طَبِيبٌ The meaning, and you should have already, yani went through this lesson and translated these things. هذا الرجل, this man. الكريم is a not. You see, under الرجل it says منعوت. That's the word that's being qualified. And الكريم is the not, the adjective qualifying or describing it. And we said that the not, it must follow in the sentence the word that is qualifying, the منعوت. And it also must follow it or agree with it in being definite or indefinite, masculine or feminine, and marfoon or mansoob or majroor. And number, but we're not going to look at that now. We're just going to look at three affairs, right? So we see al-rajulu is masculine. And al-kareem is also masculine, mudhakkar. Al-rajulu is definite, يعني معرفة. And Al-Kareem is also definite with Alif Lam, Ma'rifah. Al-Rajulu is Marfu'un with Dhamma, and Al-Kareem is also Marfu'un with Dhamma. Alright, so this shows that the Na'at agrees with the Man'ut in being definite, it also agrees with it in being masculine, and it also agrees with it in being Marfu'un. In terms of the I'rab of this whole sentence, Hadha is the Mubtada, the subject. Al-Rajulu is the Badal for Hadha. That we had in lesson 8. Al-Kareem is the not describing al-Rajul, and Tabibun is the Khabar, the predicate. Hadha is the Mubtada, subject. Tabibun is the Khabar, the predicate. As far as Ar-Rajul and Al-Kareem, Ar-Rajul is Badr, Kareem is a Naat. Okay, let's look at the next example going across. We'll see something similar. Abbasun, Tajirun, Ghaniyun. Abbasun, Abbas, that's a male's name, proper noun. Tajirun, a merchant. Ghaniyun, rich. Abbas is a rich merchant. In English, the adjective comes before the thing it's describing. In Arabic, it comes after it. And you mention the thing in Arabic, and then you describe it afterwards. After you mention it, you give its sifa, so that a person can know more about it. Abbasun tajirun ghaniyun. Abbas is a rich merchant. Here, under tajirun, they said it is the man'ut, the word that's being described or qualified. Ghaniyun, they said it is the na'at, the word that is qualifying, the adjective. Okay, so it has to agree with the man'ut. So ghaniyun has to follow tajirun in the sentence, in the sequence of the words, and it also has to follow it or agree with it in the three matters of four that we are looking at in this lesson. So tajirun is masculine, mudhakkar, and ghaniyun is also masculine. If it had been feminine, then you would have to change ghaniyun and make it feminine to ghaniyatun, ghaniyatun. But tajirun is masculine, ghaniyatun is masculine. Tajirun is indefinite, yani nakira, has tanween. So ghaniyun is also indefinite with tanween. Tajirun is also marfu'un with dhamma. It's marfu'un in the nominative case, so ghaniyun is also marfu'un. Next example, going across. Al-Arabiyyatu lughatun jamilatun. Oh, by the way, before we go to that sentence, let's look at the i'rab of this sentence quickly. Abbasun is the mubtada, tajirun is the khabr, ghaniyun is the na'at describing it. Third sentence. Al-Arabiyyatu lughatun jamilatun. Al-Arabiyyatu lughatun jamilatun. Meaning, the Arabic language is a beautiful language. Arabic is a beautiful language. Okay, so that I don't forget this time, let's do the i'rab first. Al-Arabiyyatu is the mubtada. Mubtada is always marfu'un. Lughatun is the khabr. Khabr is always marfu'un. Jamilatun is the na'at. Okay? Jamilatun is the na'at, and it has to agree with lughatun. Lughatun is feminine. Mu'annath. Jamilatun is feminine. Mu'annath. Lughatun is indefinite with tanween. Yani nakira. So jamilatun also has to be nakira with tanween. Lughatun is marfu'un with dhamma. Dhammatain. But what is important is the dhamma. And jamilatun is also marfu'un with dhamma. The next sentence, next line, Al-Mirwahatu fil Gurfati Al-Kabirati. Al-Mirwahatu fil Gurfati Al-Kabirati. The meaning of the sentence, Al-Mirwahatu, the fan is fi in Al-Gurfati Al-Kabirati, the big room. Al-Mirwahatu is the mubtada. And the shibah jumla, yani the ja' al-majrur, fi al-gurfati, yani is the khabar. Fi al-gurfati, the preposition, and the object of the preposition is the khabar. Okay. Al-mirwahatu is the mubtada, marfu'un with dhamma. Fi al-gurfati is the khabar. Fi is the harf ja' preposition. Al-gurfati is ism majrur. Sign that ism majrur is kasra. And this is the point of this sentence, Al-Kabira. Al-Kabirati is the na'at, describing Al-Gurfati, the man'ut. It has to agree with it, yani after following it in the sequence of the sentence, it has to follow it in being, for example, Al-Gurfati is, yani ma'arifa, definite with alif lam, so Al-Kabirati also is ma'arifa with alif lam. Al-Gurfati is mu'annath, feminine, ending with ta marbuta, and al kabira is also muannath, ending with ta marbuta. Al gurfati is majrur with kasra, And al-kabirati is also majrur with kasra. So it is in agreement with it in everything that is required. The last sentence they gave us, al-kubu lil-mudarrisi al-jadidi. Al-kubu lil-mudarrisi al-jadidi. The first point I want to make so that I don't forget is that lil-mudarrisi is originally li al-mudarrisi. Li al-mudarrisi. But we said previously what? That the lam, when it's attached to a word that has alif lam, the alif is omitted. It's removed. So instead of saying li al-mudarrisi, you say lil-mudarrisi. Okay, let's go back again. Al-kubu lil-mudarrisi al-jadidi. Al-kubu is the mubtada, marfu'un with dhamma. Lil-mudarrisi is jaw al-majrur, preposition and the object of the preposition. That's the khabar. And al-jadidi is the na'at describing al-mudarris. Alright, so let's look at the agreement between the na'at and the man'ut. Lil-mudarrisi is definite, yani because of lam al-ta'rif. The lam that remains after the alif is removed. So it's definite. So al-jadid is also definite ma'arifa. Al-mudarrisi is majrur because of the preposition li, lil-mudarrisi. It's majrur with kasra. Al-jadidi is majrur with kasra. Lil-mudarrisi, al-mudarris is mudhakkar, masculine, and al-jadid is also mudhakkar. If it had been feminine, then we would have to change al-jadidi to al-jadidati with ta marbuta to make it feminine. But here, al-mudarris is masculine, so al-jadid is masculine, yani mudhakkar. So if this is clear, yani the agreement between the na'at and the man'ut is in four areas. In this lesson, we're looking at three of them. We're looking at tazkir and ta'anif, yani being masculine or feminine, at-ta'rif wa tankir, being definite or indefinite, and al-i'rab, yani the case ending. Is it marfu'un or majrurun or mansub? So we see in these five examples, in each case, the na'at is following the man'ut, and it's also following it or agreeing with it in these three areas, being definite or indefinite, masculine or feminine, and in the case ending, being in the nominative, genitive, or accusative case. Okay, let's look at what follows. They give us six examples of sentences with mistakes. And what we should have done, you see the X after each sentence, that means that there's a mistake there. But what is the mistake? So what is important here is to read the sentence and identify the mistake. The mistake is in reference to the agreement between the na'at and the man'ut. The agreement between the na'at and the man'ut. Are they in agreement? Wherever there's some problem with that agreement in any one of those three areas that we took in this particular lesson, that's why you see the X. But the point is to understand where is the X. To make note of where the X is. Why the X is there? Where is the mistake? Where is the khata? Okay? So, the first sentence. هَذَا الرَّجُلُ كَرِيمُ طَبِيبٌ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ كَرِيمُ طَبِيبٌ The intended meaning should be this, يعني, noble man is a doctor. So what's wrong with this sentence? Well, Kareem is a not describing Ar-Rajul. And Ar-Rajul is Ma'rifa with Alif Lam, so Al-Kareem must also have Alif Lam. They're both masculine and they're both marfoon, but the problem here is what? Al-Kareem has to be made definite. Next sentence. Abbasun Tajirun Ghaniyu. Abbasun Tajirun Ghaniyu. I'm sorry, Al-Ghaniyu. It has Alif Lam. Let me turn this light on. Okay, that's a little better. So this sentence should read, Abbasun Tajirun Al-Ghaniyu. Al-Ghaniyu. That's the way I should have read it. Alright? So the meaning is supposed to be Abbas is a rich merchant. But Al-Ghani is a not describing Tajirun. And Tajirun is indefinite. Yani Nakira. With Tanween. So the not describing it also has to be indefinite. Nakira with tanween. Alright, so you have to remove the alif lam here, and then it would be correct. Abbasun tajirun ghaniyun. The next sentence, third sentence. Al-arabiyyatu lughatun jameelun. Al-arabiyyatu lughatun jameelun. What is intended here is, Arabic is a beautiful language. Arabic is a beautiful language. But what is the problem here? Again, jameelun is a not describing lugha, so it has to agree with it in the three areas that we mentioned for this lesson. The first of them, yani, it's in agreement in the i'rab. Both of them are marfu'un with dhamma. It's in agreement with it in being indefinite. Both of them have tanween, so they're both indefinite. But it lugha, the man'ut, is feminine. Mu'annath, and jameelun is masculine. So it has to be made masculine by adding ta marbuta, so it become jameelatun. Jameelun, made feminine, jameelatun. Al-arabiyyatu, lughatun, jameelatun. The next line, sentence number 4. Liman tilka sayyaratu al-jadidati. Liman tilka sayyaratu al-jadidati. The meaning of the sentence, to whom belongs that new car, that new automobile? To whom belongs that new automobile? So what is important here is, al-jadidati is a not describing a sayarati. It's in agreement with it. Both of them are definite, yani ma'rifa with alif lam. Both of them are feminine, yani mu'annath, ending with ta marbuta. The problem is in i'rab. As-sayaratu, the man'ut, is marfu'un with dhamma, and the na'at, al-jadidati, is majrur with kasra. So it has to be changed to agree with the man'ut. As-sayaratu al-jadidatu, not al-jadidati. The fifth sentence. Al-mirwahatu fil gurfati al-kabiri. Al-mirwahatu fil gurfati al-kabiri. Okay, the fan is in the big room. What is important here is al-kabiri is a not describing al-gurfati. Both of them have alif lam, ma'rifa. Both of them, yani, are majroor, yani with kasra. But al-gurfati is mu'annath, feminine, and al-kabir is masculine. So it has to be made feminine by adding termabuta. So it will become al-gurfati al-kabirati. Al-gurfati al-kabirati. The last sentence here, al-kubu lil-mudarrisi al-jadidati. Al-kubu lil-mudarrisi al-jadidati. Yani, the cup belongs to the new teacher. That's what's intended. Again, the important thing here is that al-jadidati is a not describing the man'ut lil-mudarrisi. So al-mudarris has alif lam, al-jadidati has alif lam. Lil-mudarrisi is majrur with kasra, al-jadidati is also majrur with kasra. So the problem is what? The problem is in, yani, at-tazkir wa ta'anif, being, yani, masculine or feminine. Al-mudarris is masculine, and al-jadidati is feminine, so the termabuta should be removed, so that they can both be in agreement. Naam. So it should read, al-kubu lil-mudarrisi al-jadidi, not al-jadidati. Alright, let's go to the next point after Nat and Man'ut, and this is a very important matter, yani, in our review of Lesson 9, the agreement between Nat and Man'ut, especially in these three areas that we have taken in this lesson, that is, in both of them being in agreement, in being, yani, at-tadhkir or ta'anif, masculine or feminine, at-ta'arif, or tankir, definite or indefinite, and in i'rab, yani, in being nominative, genitive, accusative, marfu'un, majroorun, or mansubun. The fourth matter which we didn't take in this lesson is al-adad, yani being in agreement in number. And if the man'ut is singular, mufrad, then the na'at has to also be singular. If it is muthanna, it has to be muthanna. If it is a jam, it has to be jam. Okay, let's go on to the next matter in this lesson. Second half of the page, the word alladhi, alladhi. And by the way, we'll see it's feminine later on, allati. Alladhi is what is known as, yani al-ismu al-mawsool. Al-ismu al-mawsool. Yani a relative pronoun, the relative pronoun. So under alladhi it says, alladhi ismun mawsoolun lil-mufradi al-mudhakkari al-aakili wa ghayr al-aakili. Ismun mawsoolun, yani a relative pronoun. Ismu mawsool lil-mufradi, for that which is singular. Yani there's a separate form for that which is dual or plural. Al-mudhakkari, for masculine. There's a separate form for that which is feminine. Al-aakili wa ghayr al-aakili is used for that which is human and other than human. Rational or other than, yani irrational. Okay? When it is used for that which is aakil, we translate it as who, the one who. When it is used for ghayr al-aakil, we translate it as which, that which, the one which. Who and which. Alright, so again, the important thing here is to know that alladhi is ismun mawsoolun. That's very important. It's ism mawsool. Lil mufradi, for that which is singular, not dual or plural. Al mudhakkari, for that which is masculine, not feminine. And it's used for both aqil and ghayr aqil. Now they gave us examples on the right side for the aqil. Al aqilu, they gave us yani several examples. Three examples we're going to look at for aqil. الطالب الذي خرج من الهند الطالب الذي خرج من الهند يعني the student الذي this is for عاقل right so we're going to translate as who the student who خرج went out من الهند from India the student who went out from India or out of India okay one thing that you're going to notice here is that الذي The ism mawsool is used to give additional information to the subject, al-talibu. Which talib? Alladhi kharaja min al-hindi. Alright? So, alladhi here is used for aql, al-talib. Therefore, we translate it as who. Going down. Man al-waladu al-saghiru alladhi kharaja. من الولد الصغير الذي خرج Who is the walad, الصغير, the small boy الذي هو خرج, went out Who is the small boy who went out? So, من الولد يعني that's a question by itself Who is the walad? يعني الصغير is telling us a description about which walad? The small one But if I need more information about the small boy who went out, then they told us, الَّذِي خَرَجَ Who went out. The small boy who went out. Because maybe there's more than one small boy, so the one who went out is the one that the question is being asked about. Now, the next example, الْمُدَرِّسُ الَّذِي جَلَسَ عَلَى الْكُرْسِيِّ جَدِيدٌ الْمُدَرِّسُ الَّذِي جَلَسَ عَلَى الْكُرْسِيِّ جَدِيدٌ The meaning of the sentence, المدرسو, the teacher, الَّذِي who, because we're talking about عاقل, right? The teacher who sat on the كرسي is new. The original sentence without الَّذِي and the rest of what came with it as additional information is المدرسو جَدِيدٌ المدرسو is the مبتدا, جَدِيدٌ is the خبر, الَّذِي is ism mawsool, and what the information that came with الَّذِي is silat al-mawsool. What's important is الَّذِي brings some extra information about the mubtada. About the mubtada. Al-mudarrisu jadidun, the teacher is new. But which teacher is new? الَّذِي جَلَسَ عَلَى الْكُرْسِيِّ The one who sat on the chair. That teacher, he is the one who is new. Okay, let's look at examples for غير عاقل on the left side. الكتاب الذي على المكتب للمدرس. Again, الكتاب الذي على المكتب للمدرس. The book which, now we're talking about غير عاقل, so we're going to translate الذي as which. The book which is على المكتب, on the desk or table, للمدرس, is for the teacher or belongs to the teacher. Okay, so الذي على المكتب is just extra information. The original sentence, مبتدأ and خبر, is الكتاب للمدرس. الكتاب is the مبتدأ, للمدرس is the خبر. الذي على المكتب is extra information. So the person might say, الكتاب للمدرس, the book belongs to the teacher. But if I don't know which book, the extra information that comes with the relative pronoun, الذي على المكتب, which book? The one which is on the desk or table. The next example, لمن القلم الذي على المكتب. لمن القلم الذي على المكتب. To whom belongs the pen which, الذي is for غير عاقل, the pen is غير عاقل, so we don't say the pen who, the pen which is on the table. To whom belongs the pen which is on the table? Okay, to whom belongs the pen which is on the table? What is important here is that الذي can be used both for عاقل and غير عاقل, so these are examples, يعني for each, for عاقل and غير عاقل. The last example for غير عاقل, البيت الكبير الذي في الشارع للوزير. البيت الكبير الذي, البيت الكبير الذي في الشارع للوزير. The meaning of the sentence, the house, the big house, which is in the street, belongs to the wazir, yani the minister, in government minister, interior minister, foreign minister, whatever. Al-baytu is the mubtada, and lil-waziri is the khabar. That's a complete sentence. Al-baytu, lil-wazir, the house belongs to the minister. Al-kabir is a not describing al-bayt. And then extra information also comes with the ism mawsool, al-ladhi, and what comes with it, yani the silatul mawsool, fi-shari. So the original sentence is mubtada and khabar. Al-kabir is extra information, a not, an adjective. And al-ladhi, the ism mawsool, brings more information. The big house belongs to the wazir, the big house which is in the street, in that street perhaps, for example, belongs to the minister. Okay, so what is important here is al-ladhi is ismun mawsoolun. It's used for mufrad, singular, because there's also dual and plural, ism mawsool, relative pronouns. And it's used for the mudhakkar, masculine, because there's also feminine form, yani allati, which we'll see a little bit later, lesson 12. And it's used both for aql and ghayr aql. If it is used for aql, human being, we say who? Yani the boy who, the student who. If it's used for ghayr aql, yani we say which, the book which, or the pen which. Okay, now they give us a couple of examples, three examples. Of next to the last line on the bottom of page 13, three examples of mistakes in the use of the relative pronoun الذي, or the absence of its use. Mistakes. The first one, من الولد الصغير خرج. يعني what is intended is who is the small boy who went out, but they left out the relative pronoun الذي خرج. Who is the small boy? What small boy? الَّذِي خَرَجَ. Okay, so it should read, مَنَ الْوَلَدُ الصَّغِيرُ الَّذِي خَرَجَ. Next sentence, الْكِتَابُ عَلَى الْمَكْتَبِ لِلْمُدَرِّسِ. What is intended is the book which is on the table belongs to the teacher. But they left out the ism موصول. الْكِتَابُ, yani the book belongs to the teacher. Which book? الَّذِي عَلَى الْمَكْتَبِ. الكتاب should be الذي على المكتب للمدرس. The last example, mistake, لمن القلم على المكتب. What is intended? To whom belongs the pen which is on the مكتب. So الذي has to be added here. لمن القلم الذي, which, على المكتب is on the desk. Okay, so again, الذي is اسم موصول. There are different relative pronouns. This one is for singular and for masculine. There's also feminine and there's also يعني dual relative pronoun and plural relative pronouns. Okay, one last point that I want to... Oh, no, I don't need to mention that here. Okay, we'll look at it in the English key. Okay, let's go to the English key from the Medina, original Medina books for lesson 9 on page 21. And this lesson is divided into two parts. And it has two English keys, part A and part B. Okay, so in part A on page 21, it mentions 2 points. The first point is related to the adjective in Arabic, not and man'ut. We have discussed this, yani completely. So we won't go over that. The next point is adjectives ending in, at the bottom of page 21 of the English key, adjectives ending in ana, yani fatha alif noon, yani an extra alif noon being added to a word, an adjective that has an extra alif and noon added to the end of its 3 root letters. Huh? These words have no tanween. So if you have an adjective that has 3 root letters, and at the end of it there's an extra aleph and noon, this is an indication that this form of word, of adjective, is mamnu' min as-sarfi. Yani it's a diptote. It doesn't take tanween. In Arabic it's called al-wasfu. Yani the description or the adjective. Al-makhtumu. That is khutima, is ending with alifin wa noonin zaidataini, with an alif and a noon that is extra above and beyond its triliteral root. So for example, from kasala you have kaslanu, meaning lazy. From the root jim, waw and ayn, you have jaw'anu, with an extra alif and noon. And from the root ayn, ta, sheen, you have atashanu, with an extra alif noon. And you also have from ghain, dad, ba, ghababanu, with an extra alif noon. And there are lots of adjectives that end with the extra added, yani alif and noon. This indicates that it's mamnu min as-sarf, that is, it's a diptote. It doesn't take tanween. And likewise, we can also add here, as we'll see in the end of the book, in the last lesson, that words that are mamnu min as-sarf, not only they don't take tanween, but when they are majroor, they don't take kasra as a sign of being majroor. Rather, in place of kasra, they take fatha. We'll see that in the end of, and in the last lesson, when we deal with, the last two lessons deal with categories of words that are mamnu min as-sarf. Also, in the second part of the English key for this lesson, number 9, on page 23, there are 4 points mentioned. The first of them is that the adjective qualifying a definite noun, yani, must also be definite. And we talked about that already when we said that the not must agree with the man'ut in being, yani, masculine or feminine, in being, yani, in its i'rab of being marfu or mansub or majrur, and also in being definite or indefinite. So we already talked about that. The second point is the relative pronoun. We already explained that. And the third point is the preposition li. It says, point number 3, note that when li is used with a noun having alif lam, the alif of alif lam is omitted. And we also talked about that. And the final point we didn't talk about, and that is the zarf al-makan, the adverb of place, inda. In the original Medina books, yani, the one of the points for lesson number 9 is the adverb of place, inda, ayn, noon, del, inda, which means with. The noun following it has kasra ending. For example, al-mudarrisu inda al-mudiri, inda al-mudiri. Yani the teacher is with the headmaster, yani in his office. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in the next lesson. But what is important here is that previously we had adverbs. In lesson 5 we have tahta and fauka, and in lesson 8, we had, the last lesson 8, we had amama and khalfa, in front of and behind. In this lesson we have inda. Okay, so I'm bringing this out is because it's not mentioned in our summary review of this lesson. The word عِنْدَ, it's an adverb of place. ظَرْف المكان. Like تَحْتَ and فَوْكَ and أَمَامَ and خَلْفَ. It's an adverb of place. And the adverb of place is always used in إضافة. It's always the مُضَافِ. That means the word following it is always going to be مُضَافٌ إِلَيْهِ مَجْرُورٌ. Okay, that's what we wanted to cover concerning lesson number 9. Let's go to lesson number 10. Let's go to lesson number 10. Lesson number 10 is on page 14. This lesson is given in two pages, page 14 and 15. So, yani there are four matters that it deals with, and quite a few examples. Hopefully everybody has already read the lesson, and preferably has also written it out. Yani writing the lesson is very important in terms of improving our handwriting skills, in terms of becoming more familiar with the words and learning how to write them. Especially, the more you write, the easier it is for you to write words that you know without looking. You don't have to look at every single word when you're copying something. You can look at a sentence or half of a sentence, three or four words at a time, and write them when you get practice writing. So writing the lesson out is for a number of benefits. One of them is to improve our writing skills and our handwriting, penmanship. And another one is to improve our ability to copy, to write things without looking at every single word. And this also helps us to memorize. Yani writing something out, like in some of the Muslim countries, memorization of the Quran is done by the student who's learning the Quran, writing out whatever they're going to learn for that day on a board, writing it out first, and then memorizing from what they have written, and this writing helps for memorization. Okay, so hopefully everybody has read the lesson, written the lesson, and translated it. Okay, so, and also underline the words that you're not familiar with. So as we go through the lesson, inshallah, you'll be able to write the words in. Okay, so this lesson, at the top of the lesson, page 14, it says, الدرس العاشر. الدرس العاشر, the 10th lesson from عشرة, 10, the number 10. العاشر. The title is, الضمائر. الضمائر. الضمائر is the plural of ضميرٌ. ضمير means a pronoun. الضمائر pronouns. In this lesson, we're talking about specifically the attached pronouns that are attached to words. Okay? So this is actually الضمائر المتصل. المتصلة. الضمائر المتصلة. يعني the attached or connected pronouns. And also, let me note from the beginning that the pronouns that we're going to talk about here are only the singular pronouns. Okay, so there are pronouns that are attached and unattached. The unattached pronouns are the unattached pronouns are the personal pronouns, like Anna and Anta and Hua and Hiya. The attached pronouns are what we're going to see here, yani ka and ki and yani kum and kunna and so on like this. Okay, but in this lesson we're only going to see the singular forms of the attached pronouns. The lesson begins by saying, الضمائرُ ثلاثةٌ. Yani pronouns are three. Yani there are three pronouns. Number one, here, number one, المتكلمُ. المتكلمُ means the speaker, or in grammar they say the first person. The first person, the second person, the third person. The first person is the speaker. The second person is the one who is spoken to, and the third person is the one who is spoken about. Yani the absent one that they are speaking about. Okay? So, الضمائرُ ثلاثةٌ. Pronouns are three. Number one, المتكلمُ. The speaker or the first person. The personal pronoun, separate pronoun for it, which we are not going to deal with in this lesson, is أنا. That's used for masculine and feminine. The attached pronoun that we're going to look at in this lesson is ya al-mutakallim. The ya that is attached to the end of a word, always preceded by kasra. As in the example they gave here, bayti. Okay, so the first person pronoun is known as al-mutakallimu, the speaker. That's the first person, the one who is speaking. The personal pronoun is ana. And the attached pronoun يعني possessive pronoun is إي يعني يا المتكلم بيتي كتابي أمي أبي and so on like this. The second of the three دمائر is المخاطب with فتح on the طا. Please note المخاطب because المخاطب with كسرة has a different meaning altogether. Okay, it means the speaker, the same as متكلمو. But we don't want المخاطب with كسرة, we want المخاطب with فتح. المخاطب means يعني the one who is being spoken to. Okay, in grammar they call it the second person, the one who is being spoken to. The personal pronoun for the one who is being spoken to is أنت, يعني masculine singular. The attached pronoun, بيتك, يعني كاف with فتح is the pronoun that we want to see in this lesson. كاف with فتح, ك, بيتك, قلمك, كتابك, that ك, okay? That's the second person. The third type of pronoun, يعني the first person, the second person, the third person is الغائب. الغائب, literally the one that is absent. This in grammar is called the third person, the one who is absent, the one that we are speaking about. So there's the speaker, the one who is being spoken to, and a third party, the one who is being spoken about. Okay? So again, the دمائر, الدمائر ثلاثة, المتكلم, first person, المخاطب, second person, الغائب, third person. If you're already familiar with these terminologies, alhamdulillah. The third person, personal pronoun, هو, he. And it's for masculine singular, he, هو. The attached pronoun, possessive pronoun, showing possession, بيتهو, يعني is the letter ها with dhamma, هو. بيتهو, كتابه, قلمه, مفتاحه, and so on like this. Alright? So this is the first point of this lesson, that the ضمائر are of three, يعني divisions. The first person, the second person, and the third person. The first person is Arabic, in Arabic is المتكلم, the second person is مخاطب, and the third person is الغائب. Now we're going to look at examples of each one of these for the possessive pronouns, the attached pronouns that are attached to other words. We're not going to look at the personal pronouns. Okay, Anna and Anta and Hua and Hia. We're just going to look at the attached pronouns. And by the way, the pronouns that they're showing us here, they're going to show us the mutakallim, then they're going to show us the mukhatab, masculine form and feminine form, and then the ghaib, masculine form and feminine form, all of them are singular. Okay, so we're only looking at attached pronouns. We're only looking at singular attached pronouns. Okay, so let's look at each one of them. The first is, yani, after the number three, the third line of the lesson, after the number three, al-mutakallimu, al-mudhakkaru, wal-mu'annathu. Al-mutakallimu, that is the speaker, the first person. The form of this pronoun is used for al-mudhakkar and al-mu'annath, for masculine and feminine. The same word is used. As in, hadha bayti. Yani, the ya at the end of the word bayt is the pronoun, the damir al-mutakallim, the first person. It can be used for masculine as well as feminine. If a man says, bayti, my house, a woman says the same thing, bayti, my house. Okay, hadha bayti, this is my house. Second example, ismi Muhammadun. My name is Muhammad. If a woman was to use ismi, it's the same thing. Ismi Fatimatu. So, the ya al-mutakallim, the first person pronoun that's attached, is used both for masculine and feminine. Next example he gave, Abi, my father, wa ummi, my mother, fil bayti, are in the house. Next line, continuation, عندي قلم. عندي قلم. I have a pen. Literally, with me is a pen. Next example, لي أخٌ. لي أخٌ. I have a brother. For me is a brother. Here I want to just note, عندي قلم. I have a pen. لي أخٌ. I have a brother. So عندي and لي both mean I have, but يعني عندي, we will see, is used for غير عاقل, and لي is used for عاقل. يعني when you say I have a pen or a thing, you say عندي. If you say I have a brother or a sister or a mother or a father, you don't use عندي. You don't say عندي أخٌ عندي أختٌ. You say لي أخٌ لي أخت أخٌ لي أختٌ. نعم. Okay, so distinguish between عندي and لي. يعني عندي is used for things غير عاقل, and the preposition لي here, يعني لي, is used for عاقل. Okay, let's go down to the next one. After, that's the first person. Let's go to the second person, first masculine, and then the second person feminine. Second person masculine, المخاطب with فتح, المخاطب المذكر, يعني the second person masculine. هذا بيتك, هذا بيتك, يعني the ka is the ضمير, the pronoun here. Second person masculine singular, ka, هذا بيتك. Another example, ما اسمك, ما اسمك, what is your name. سيارتك جميلة, سيارتك, the ka here is the pronoun that we're talking about, second person masculine singular, ka, سيارتك جميلة, your car is beautiful. Next example, أبوك وأمك في البيت, أبوك وأمك في البيت, your mother, your father and your mother are in the house. Okay, I don't want to take too much time with this particular point, but I just want to mention that أبوك is from the أسماء الخمسة. And these five words in the Arabic language, whenever they are in idafa, they have a special ruling. That is, if they are marfoon, instead of the sign of them being marfoon being dhamma, it's waw. Yani the short vowel is elongated. If it was majroor, instead of the sign of it being majroor being kasra, it's ya. And if it was mansoob, the sign of it being mansoob instead of fatha is alif. Yani the short vowel, that's the sign of its i'rab, yani is followed by its elongation. Fatha followed by alif, kasra followed by ya, dhamma followed by waw. And that waw or alif or ya is the sign of its i'rab. Marfoon, the sign is waw. And mansoob, the sign is alif. Majroor, the sign is ya for asma al-khamsa. So ab is one of the asma al-khamsa. Whenever it's an idhafa, it has a special rule for i'rab. Going to the next line as a continuation. A'indaka. We're still in second person masculine pronoun. A'indaka qalamun. Do you have a pen? Do you have a pen with you? Next example. Alaka akhun. Alaka akhun. Do you have a brother? Do you have a brother? Again, distinguish. Yani, notice the difference between the use of عند and the use of يعني عندك and لك. عندك for things, غير عاقل. لك for عاقل, people. The next line. We're still in second person, but now we're looking at second person. Feminine singular. المخاطب المؤنث. Feminine, second person. Examples. هذا بيتك. Okay, the pronoun here for second person feminine singular is كي. كاف with كسرة. هذا بيتك. This is your house. Speaking to a female. ما اسمك. ما اسمك. What is your name? Speaking to a female. سيارتك جميلة. Your car is beautiful. أبوك وأمك في البيت. Your father and your mother are in the house. Speaking to a female. Next line, continuation. أعندك قلم. Do you have a pen? Do you have with you a pen? Alaki akhun. Do you have a brother? Again, what is important here is to distinguish between the use of عنده for غير العاقل, for non-human beings, and لك for عاقل, human beings. Next line. Now we're going to the third person. First masculine and then feminine. الغائب المذكر. يعني the third person masculine. Examples. هذا بيته. يعني the pronoun here for third person masculine singular is the letter ها with ضمه. هو. هذا بيته. This is his house. ما اسمه. ما اسمه. What is his name? سيارته جميلة. His سيارة is beautiful. His car is beautiful. أبوه وأمه في البيت. His father and his mother are in the house. Continuation, next line. عنده قلم. Does he have a pen? أله أخ. Does he have a brother? Again, distinguishing between the use of عنده for غير عاقل and له for عاقل. The last line, يعني third person feminine singular, الغائب المؤنث. الغائب المؤنث. Third person feminine. And all of these pronouns here, attached pronouns, are all singular forms. We'll see the plurals soon. Examples for third person feminine singular pronouns, attached pronouns and muttasil, attached pronouns. هذا بيتها. يعني the letter ha with fatha and alif is the feminine third person singular attached pronoun, possessive pronoun, showing possession. هذا بيتها. This is her house. يعني she owns it, she possesses it. مسموها. What is her name? سيارتها جميلة. Her car is beautiful. أبوها وأمها في البيت. Her father and her mother is in the house. Continuation, next line. عندها قلم. Does she have a pen? يعني with her. ألها أخ. Does she have a brother? Okay, this is the end of the singular attached pronouns. الضمائر, attached pronouns. First person, second person, third person. First person form is used both for masculine and feminine. Second and third person form each have a masculine form and a feminine form. And likewise in the plurals, the same thing. The next point of this lesson are the two words عندي and لي. Okay, we already noted يعني some difference in the use of these two words as we were looking at the examples. So we already had a preview of it. What I want to note here is that عند يعني عين نون دل without the ya that represents the first person singular pronoun. عند يعني is a ظرف المكان. A ظرف المكان, an adverb of place. And the adverbs of place like عند and as well أمام and خلف that we had previously are always used in إضافة, so it's going to be مضاف, and whatever follows it is going to be مضاف إليه. Alright, لي يعني is لام with كسرة, is a preposition حرف جر. Okay, and the word that follows the حرف جر is also going to be the object of the preposition, it's going to be مجرور. But the word that follows عند is مجرور because that word is going to be مضاف إليه. And the word that follows لي is going to be مجرور because it's the object of the preposition. So the words that follow عند and لي, words that follow each of them are going to be مجرور but for two different reasons. عند is a ظرف المكان, so it's مضاف. The word that follows it is مجرور because it's مضاف إليه. And لي is a حرف جر preposition. The word that follows it is مجرور because it's the object of the preposition, known as اسم مجرور. Okay, let's look at the examples they gave us. عندي, they said, is لغير العاقل. عندي is used for غير عاقل. It's not used for people. You don't say عندي أخ, عندي أخت, عندي أم. No, you say I have things. Okay, look at the examples they gave for عندي لغير عاقل. عندي كتاب. I have a book. عندي ساعة. I have a watch or a clock. عندي دراجة. I have a bicycle. Okay, also let's note here that عندي is used for things which are separable. Yani as far as things which are inseparable from the human being, like your eyes and your nose and your mouth, those things we don't use عندي for those also. And we use لي. Okay, but general things that are separable, like your books and your pens and your house and your car, that's what we use عندي for. But parts of the body, we don't say عندي, we say لي. Okay, لي, we said, and the next line says, لي is for عاقل. لي is for, used for عاقل. It's used for referring to people. People as opposed to things. So, for example, they said what? لي أخت واحدة. I have one sister. لي ابن وبنت. I have a son and a daughter. لي أم وأب. I have a mother and a father. Notice that all of these examples for لي are people, عاقل, human beings. Now let's look at the final line of this page, final line of this page, not the final line of the lesson, and look at the examples. Some of them are correct and some of them are incorrect. And what is يعني intended here is that you read these examples, and if it is incorrect, خفى with the X, you should يعني be able to explain why. Okay, so the first one, alaka akhun sahihun. This is correct. Why is it correct? Because akh is akil and li is used for akil. Alaka akhun. Do you have a brother? Next one. A'indaka akhun. Do you have a brother? But this is wrong. Why? Because akh is akil and inda is used for ghayru akil. Next example. A'indaka kitabun. Do you have a book? This is sahihun. Why is it correct? Because kitabun is ghayru akil and inda is used with ghayru akil. The last one. Alaka kitabun. Do you have a book? This is khata. This is a mistake. Why? Because kitabun is ghayru akil and the preposition li is used with hani akil. Li is used for akil. Okay, let's turn to page 15. The remaining part of this lesson is on page 15. So in the time that's remaining, inshallah, we'll try to cover what remains here. Page 15, the next point of this lesson is the word ma'a. Ma'a. If we look at the bottom of the page, we have the qa'idah, or the rule related to ma'a, on the bottom of the page. It says ma'a, last line of page 15. Ma'a, dharfu makanin. An adverb of place. Dharfu makan. A dharf, an adverb of place. Al-ismu, alladhi ba'dahu majrurun bil-kasrati. Al-ismu, the noun, alladhi, which, ba'dahu, is after it, is majrurun, in the genitive case, bil-kasrati. Yani, with the sign of it being majrur, it's kasra, the kasra vowel. Okay, I just want to add to this. Yani, ma'a is the dharf al-makan, adverb of place. And the noun which follows it is majrur with kasra. Why is it majrur with kasra? Because ma'a is the dharf, dharf al-makan. And the dharf al-makan is always mudawfun. Therefore the word that follows it, why is it majrur with kasra? Because it's mudawfun ilayhi. And we said in lesson 5 that the mudawf ilayhi, the second part of a construct phrase, is always majrur. The primary sign of being majrur is kasra. Okay, so what we're adding here is that ma'a is dharf al-makanin. الاسم الذي بعده مجرور بالكسرة. Why? لأنه مضاف إليه. It's مجرور because it is مضاف إليه. Okay, let's go back to the top of the page and look at the examples they gave us for مع. Also, I want to note here, and we're going to look at it again. I want to note that there's a difference between the use of مع and عند. This is explained in the English key for this lesson. The difference between مع and عند. Both of them mean with, but مع is used in the unrestricted sense, with someone anywhere. Whereas inda is used in a more restricted sense. If you say inda al-mudir, means with him in his office. Inda al-mudarris, with him in his classroom. Inda al-imam, with him at the masjid, like this. Okay, so inda is used in a more restricted sense, whereas ma'a, you can be with the mudarris, with the principal, with the teacher in the marketplace, anywhere. Okay, unrestricted. But ma'a is dharf, Makan, and it's always mudaf, so the word following it is going to be mudaf ilayhi majrur. Okay, let's look at the sentences they gave us. After ma'a, kharaja hamidun ma'a khalidin. Kharaja hamidun ma'a khalidin. Hamid went out with Khalid. Kharaja is the fa'il, verb. Hamidun is the fa'il, subject, do of the action, and the fa'il is always marfu'un. Ma'a khalidin, ma'a is dharf. المكان الخالدين is مضاف إليه مجرور. Next example. ذهب الطبيب مع المهندس. ذهب الطبيب مع المهندس. The طبيب, doctor, went مع with المهندس, the engineer. ذهب is the fa'il, verb. الطبيب is the fa'il, doer of the action, the subject, مرفوع with ضمة. مع is ظرف. المكان مضاف and المهندسي is مضاف إليه مجرور. The sign that is مجرور is كسر. Third example. عائشة معها زوجها. عائشة with her, معها, with her, with عائشة, with her. And he has referring back to عائشة, so it's feminine, right? عائشة is feminine. So use the feminine, yani third person, singular form of the attached pronoun. معها زوجها, with her is her spouse, her husband. زوجها. Next line, continuation. Man ma'aka ya aliyu. Man ma'aka ya aliyu. Who is with you, O Ali? Ma'i zamili. With me is my friend. What I want to note here is that ma'a, mim fatta, ayn fatta, we see it's modified here with ya al-mutakallim, the first person, attached pronoun, ya al-mutakallim. Why is that? Because ya al-mutakallim, when it's attached to the end of a word, it must always be preceded by kasra. So that's why the fatta of the ayn is changed to kasra here because of ya al-mutakallim. So you always see words that end with ya al-mutakallim, the first person, yani possessive pronoun, showing possession, my, yani my house, my friend, my teacher. And you'll see it always being preceded by kasra. Man ma'aka ya Ali, who is with you, Ali? Ma'i zamili, with me is my classmate, zamili. Okay, now let's look at some examples that some of them are correct and some are not. The ones that are not correct, you have to know why they are not correct. Okay, why are they not correct? The first example, ma'a khalidin, with Khalid, sahihun, this is correct. Next one, ma'a khalidun, khata, this is incorrect. Why? Because Khalid is the mudawf ilayhi always has to be majrur. Remember, ma'a is the dharaf al-makan. Dharaf al-makan, adverb of place, is always mudawf, and the word following it is mudawf ilayhi majrur. So khalidun should be khalidin. Next one, a'ishatu ma'aha zawjuha. Aisha, with her, ma'aha, with her, is zawjuha, her husband. Sahihun, this is correct. Now let's see the mistake in it. Aishatu ma'ahu zawjuha. Aishatu ma'ahu. Yani with who means him. And the pronoun is supposed to be referring back to Aisha, which is feminine. So you can't use the masculine pronoun here. Aishatu ma'ahu should be Aishatu ma'aha, with her, is zawjuha, her husband. Next line, man ma'aka ya aliyu. Man ma'aka ya aliyu. Who is with you, O Ali? Ma'i zamili. With me is my classmate. Sahihun, this is correct. Now let's look at the mistaken one. Man ma'aka ya aliyu. Who is with you, O Ali? Yani ka, yani is masculine. Ali is masculine, so that's correct. Ma'aka zamili. Ma'aka, yani the answer should be man ma'aka ya Ali, since I'm speaking to him. When he answers, he has to answer back in the first person. He has to answer back and say with me. But here it has ma'aka, with you. Who is with you? With you is, no, who is with you? You have to say when you answer, with me is my classmate. So ma'aka should be ma'i, with me is my zamili. Notice here that they give an example with explanation. Underneath that last sentence, it says, ma'a khalidin. They said, ma'a is mudawfun, and khalidin is mudawfun ilayhi. So what they're saying here is that ma'a is a dharaf al-makan. It's always used as a mudawf, and the word following it is always going to be mudawfun ilayhi majroor. Unless the word following it is a word that's mabniyun, then we'll say it's in the place where it should be majroor. But a mu'arab word, we're going to say it's mudawfun ilayhi, and the mudawf ilayhi is always majroor. The sign that it's majroor, the primary sign that it's majroor is kasra. I say primary sign because some words, we'll see special words have secondary signs. But the primary sign of a word being majroor is kasra. Okay, let's go down to the next point, which is the last point of this lesson, in the end of the time that remains. Al-alamu al-mudhakkaru al-makhtumu بتاء التأنيث لا ينون لا ينون. العالم means a proper noun, yani name of a person or place, proper noun, name of a city or country, a proper noun, as opposed to a common noun. Book is a common noun. Every book is called book. Every yani table is called table. But when you say Ahmed or Muhammad, that's the specific person that you're talking about. That's a person's name. So al-alamu means the proper noun. Al-mudhakkaru the masculine proper noun, al-makhtumu, that ends with, yani khutima, the end of it is, ta'i at-ta'nif. Ta' at-ta'nif means the ta' that indicates femininity. We also sometimes call it, mostly we usually call it ta' al-marbuta. Yani the ta' that is closed, the tied, round ta'. Okay? Here we are referring to it as its other name, ta'i at-ta'nifi. The ta' that indicates femininity. That's ta' marbuta. It indicates femininity. So the masculine proper noun that ends with ta' ta'nif, the ta' that indicates femininity, yani linguistically it's a feminine form of a word, even though it's referring to a male, la yunawwanu, that it doesn't take tanween. Masculine proper nouns, yani that end with ta' marbuta, the feminine ending, do not take tanween. Why? Because this type of word, masculine proper noun that ends with ta'marbuta or ta'anif, is mamnu'un min as-sarf. And it's a diptote. Doesn't take tanween and it doesn't take kasra when it's majrur. Okay, so what's the point here is that there are different classes of words that are mamnu'un min as-sarf, that are diptotes. Don't take tanween and don't take kasra when they're majrur. They're different categories of words. So from amongst those words that we had previously, we said that feminine proper nouns, all feminine proper nouns, if they end with tarmabuta or not, yani Aishatu and Khadijatu, they end with tarmabuta. Zainabu and Maryamu don't end with tarmabuta. But all feminine proper nouns, names of females, they're all mamnu min as-sarf. They don't take tanween. As far as masculine proper nouns, we said they do take tanween. But the exception to it is the masculine proper noun that ends with ta at-ta'anith or ta marbuta. They do not take tanween. Let's look at the examples or the comparisons. They're showing us a list of masculine proper nouns. Some of them are taking tanween, some are not. The ones that are not is because they end with ta'i at-ta'anithi. Muhammadun with tanween. Hamzatu with a single dhamma. Khalidun with tanween. Talhatu with a single dhamma, no tanween. Mahmudun with tanween. Muawiyatu with a single dhamma, no tanween. Husaynun with tanween. And Usamatu with a single dhamma, no tanween. Okay, so we notice from this, they are all masculine proper nouns, but the ones that end with ta' at-ta'anith or ta' marbuta do not take tanween. Now let's look at the next line, which is the last line of this lesson, since we already read the final line. Hamzatu, yani this is sahihun. Why is sahih? Because hamza is a masculine proper noun that ends with ta' ta'anith, ta' marbuta. It doesn't take tanween. Hamzatun with tanween is khata. That's wrong. Talhatu with a single vowel dhamma is sahihun. That's correct because it's a masculine proper noun that ends with ta' marbuta. Talhatun with tanween is khata. That's a mistake. Because yani masculine proper nouns that end with ta, ta'anith or ta marbuta do not take tanween. The last line we read already, that is the rule concerning ma'a, that is zarfu makanin, an adverb of place. Al ismu alladhi ba'dahu majrurun bil kasra, and the noun that follows it is going to be majrur with kasra. We said why? Because it is mudawfun ilayhi. The zarf al makan is always used as a mudawf. The word that's following it is always going to be mudawfun ilayhi majrur. Okay, we're going to look quickly at the English key for this lesson number 10, which is quite lengthy, so we're going to skip through it as quickly as possible. On page 25, lesson 10, in this lesson we learned the possessive pronouns, meaning the attached pronouns that are used to show possession. Okay, so they gave us in this lesson, yani kitabu ka, kitabu hu, kitabu ha, and kitabi. These are the attached pronouns that correspond with the personal pronouns that we had in lesson 4 in the original Medina books. Yani, ana, huwa, hiya, and anta. So we went over that already. Point number 2 is kitabuka, kitabuhu. Yani, when you add a possessive pronoun to a noun, it's attached directly to it, but not so for the word abun and akhun. We said these are from the Asma al-Khamsa, the 5 special words in Arabic, that when they're an idalfa, you add that extra vowel. Yani, if they are marfoon with dhamma, you add waw. If they are mansoob with fatah, you add alif. If they are majroor with kasra, you add ya. So, instead of saying abuka, you say abuka. Instead of saying akhuka, you say akhuka. Here they only mention the waw, because in this, all the words in these examples are marfu'un, but if they were majrur, they would take ya, and if they are mansub, they would take alif. And they mention that these are yani special words. That's explained in this lesson. The third point is inda means with. It is also used to mean to have something. Yani previously in the last lesson, we had inda meaning yani to be with someone, inda al-mudiyya, and now they are saying that it also means to have something. Indaka qalamun, do you have a pen? The fourth point is the preposition li. That li has kasra, but when it's attached to pronouns like ka and ki and hu and ha, that kasra of li becomes fatha. So it becomes laka, lahu, and laha, except with ya al mutakallam, because it always has to be preceded by kasra, so it remains li. They also explain the difference between inda and li. Yani that inda is used for things which are separable, and li is used for human beings. Number five, they dealt with the verb, and we're not going to talk about that for now, but the forms of the verb we're going to cover later on. Number six is that masculine proper nouns, like feminine proper nouns, masculine proper nouns end with tarmabuta, do not take tanween, they are mamnu and sarf. Then they mention the difference between ma'a and inda, yani that ma'a, yani has an unlimited meaning, being with someone anywhere, and inda has a more restricted meaning, being with them in the place that they are known for. Point number eight is dealing with the preposition be, that means at or in, and it's just like any other preposition that we had before, ala, wa fi, wa min, wa ila, and li, and it's a preposition, the noun following it, yani is going to be the object of the preposition majrur. Primary sign of it being majrur is kasra. And the last point in this English key for lesson 9 is ma and nafia. Ma and nafia is the ma of negation as opposed to ma hadha. What is this? That's the ma when you're asking a question. This is ma, yani that's ma al-istifhamiyya. This is ma and nafia, the negative particle ma. That means yani you're negating something. You say ma indi, I do not have something, or ma dhahabtu, I did not go. Okay, we didn't have a chance to look at the vocabulary today, but our time is up, I believe, right? Our time is up, so we're going to stop here. Please review this review. Can you review what we covered here in lessons 9 and 10? And as well, review the previous lessons that we reviewed, yani from 1 up until 10. Especially focusing on these last two lessons that we covered today, 9 and 10. Also, yani, try to study the vocabulary that came with these lessons in the original book. The vocabulary is mentioned in the English key that has been sent out to everybody who joined the class. Try to study the vocabulary. If you know most of the vocabulary, we didn't have a vocabulary quiz today, but look at the vocabulary, see if you know it. If you don't know it, try to learn some of the vocabulary, if not all of it. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. May Allah bless each of you, yani in your personal lives, and in your families, your health and your wealth, and in your learning, yani the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in your practicing what you learn, by worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani asking Him all the time to help us and to aid us and to assist us in doing that which is pleasing to Him. Ask Him to forgive us our shortcomings and to multiply, accept and multiply our good deeds, and to raise our station with Him in this world and in the next, and most importantly, to keep us firm upon as-sirat al-mustaqim until we return to Him in a condition of being pleasing to Him and pleased with Him. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.